Welcome back to Breakthrough Entertainment's Mother's Day special right here on KPHX 1480 AM live in Phoenix, Arizona. Of course, this song is maybe my favorite song from Mamma Mia. Don't go wasting your emotions. Lay all your love on me. Of course, yes. Lay all your love on me, Eric. Let's just hear the chorus here and then we'll...
Was this ABBA?
Yeah, it was originally ABBA. And of course, now this is Amanda Seyfried. Lay all your love on me. And the reason I love the song so much, well, the meaning, but also Amanda Seyfried during the song in the movie, she just looks so, like, sultry and interesting, you know, interested in him. It's like, oh, it's like she is just ready to pounce on him. Rawr. Okay. Anyway.
Kill it?
Yeah, you can kill that. But anyway, so happy Mother's Day out there to all of the mothers, aunts, and, you know, just soon-to-be mothers as well. We don't want to forget about them. And as I said, I am Joseph J. Erdo across the glass from Eric Reinert. Dave Isaac on assignment today, but he'll be back next week. Brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. And right now, we're going to bring on our first guest of the day, Tom Tran. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, fellas. How are you doing?
And
great.
Waiting.
Great, and thank you for waiting. I'm sorry to keep you holding there.
I enjoy Mamma Mia, so no worries.
Great.
I appreciate the theme. I'm a heavy metal guy, so I've been listening to Ozzy Osbourne's Mama, I'm Coming Home all morning at the gym.
Ooh,
no, that's way better.
I need a little ABBA right now. Maybe need some ABBA.
Yes, Eric, maybe you can cue that up for him. Give him a little bit of, you know. But all right, so you are from My Motto Veterans Edition. I want you to tell us a little bit about that in just a moment, but you've got this really interesting background as well. You are a veteran, right?
I am a combat veteran, United States Army, yeah.
Excellent. So tell us a little bit about your history, your background. I know that the publicist shares something really, really interesting with me.
My family came to the United States in 1980 during the whole immigration thing after my father was he escaped from a prisoner of war camp in Vietnam in 1978. He was an Air Force pilot. He flew with the U.S. and he flew with the South Vietnamese. He was put in prison in 1975. He escaped in 1978. And then he brought my family to the United States in 1980. And when I was 18, I decided to follow in his footsteps, much to my mother's disapproval.
Oh, wow.
Having, you know, she had to spend her life with my father being a military man.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm the third generation military in my family. So when I, you know, when they brought my family to the United States, myself, my brothers and sisters, the last thing she wanted was for her son to, you know, go through literally what his father had gone through.
Mm-hmm.
But I did. And she, you know, I remember the day I joined the Army, my mother sat me down and said, I went through this with your father. Why are you doing this to me again? And I said, you know, Dad fought for his country and then he brought us here. So this is my country. And I have to do that. And my mom understood that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I joined a special operations unit and my father sat me down and went, we're going to tell your mom you're a cook. We're not going to tell her you jump out of planes or any of this other stuff you do. So we told my mom I was a cook for like 8 years.
Wow.
And so she came down to Fort Benning when I graduated from jump school. She was like, cooks jump out of airplanes? I'm like, yeah, Mom, we are the most awesome cooks in the Army. And then my mother passed away, unfortunately, in 2010. And before she did, my father sat her down and said, you know, he really wasn't a cook, right? And my mom goes, yeah, I know. He was a terrible cook. But she knew the whole time. But she let us believe what we needed to so that she could, you know, she could be okay with it. And she knew how much I loved the Army. So she didn't give me too much grief about it.
Well, moms are there to look out for us and also support us. It's, you know, it's a juggling act.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. She did an amazing job, you know, bringing our family to the United States, literally giving up her whole life, her family, everything she knew was in Vietnam. You know, my father was a South Vietnamese Air Force pilot, and then he flew with the U.S. And then she brought my family to the United States and gave up everything so that we could, you know, have better lives. And, you know, my brother is a chemical engineer. My sister is a federal agent. My younger sister builds rockets. I tell dirty jokes for a living. So I was like clearly a disappointment at Thanksgiving every year until, you know, until I had some monocle of success. And she was like, okay, I'm pseudo celebrity mom now. So I'm okay with this.
No, I think that you'd be the best guest at Thanksgiving. I'd rather have someone tell jokes and tell some of the other really serious stories. Because you know what, especially around the Thanksgiving table.
I'm the favorite uncle for sure. I'm definitely the coolest uncle in the family. So
don't tell the dirty jokes to the youngsters.
No. They don't get the dirty jokes.
Oh, right? Okay. Good. And well, again, if anyone's just now joining us, we are speaking with Tom Tran. Tom, tell us before we talk about your career in comedy and also the My Motto Veterans Edition. I understand that you were shot in the head during combat.
Yes, I deployed to Iraq in 2003, Operation Iraqi Freedom, OIF-1, as we call it. I crossed the border on Sunday, and on Thursday, my first mission outside the wire, I was in a gunfight with a team, and I took a 7.62 round in the back of the skull.
Wow.
My fourth day in Iraq. So mom was none too pleased when she found out about that later, especially because we didn't tell her until I came home. But I took a gunshot to the back of the head. I bandaged myself up. I finished that mission, and I stayed. I stayed the entire 12-month deployment. Kind of holding in all the fear and anxiety of having just been shot in the head. Mm-hmm. And then I held that all in until I came home. And I was medically retired from the Army in 2005. Mm-hmm. And then found a career telling jokes.
Excellent.
So a very different path than I or my father had been expecting me to take.
Oh, sure. Have you, out of curiosity, have you seen that new Netflix movie Sandcastle with Nicholas Holt?
I saw the trailer for it. Actually, my major, who I had deployed with, apparently, I don't know anything about the story other than it was about a civil affairs team, and my major says that we may have deployed with that guy, and that team may have happened, that mission may have happened in the same time frame we were there. I don't know him, but I saw the trailer. It looked like, to me, and because I'm a comedian, it looked like a serious version of Three Kings with Ice Cube and Mark Wahlberg. But it looks really good. I work as a consultant here in Hollywood as well, so I'm kind of the guy they call to make movies look more real when it comes to the military. And from what I saw, it looked really good. Like from a technical standpoint, it didn't. It looked pretty good to me, so I'm excited to watch it.
And it looks to me like is this true? You used to do traffic reporting on K Earth 101.
I used to do it for K Earth 101. Yes, I worked still for CBS as a traffic reporter, actually upstairs from K-Earth 101 now.
Nice.
Oh,
yeah, I grew up with K-Earth 101.
Gary Bryant and the team, yeah, they're pretty awesome.
Eric's got the jingle down and everything.
Yeah, I'm from Orange County, California. I grew up in Newport Beach.
Oh, fantastic.
So,
takes a lot to get Eric singing, you know, in the morning this early. So we got his coffee.
Cups of coffee and somebody that works at K-Earth 101, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Well, so tell us, how did you transition into comedy and how is that? Tell us about that journey.
Well, you guys were talking about Robin Williams before the break. Mm-hmm. And I blame Robin Williams for both my career in the Army and as a comedian. I remember being, 16 or 17 years old, maybe a little younger, and seeing Good Morning Vietnam for the first time.
Yes.
And thinking, I want to do that. I want to be Adrian Crownhauer. I want to be that guy. and when I finally decided to join the Army, it was because I realized I wasn't going to be Eddie Van Halen, which was my lifelong dream. And I went to the Army recruiter, and he said, we don't have that job available. It's a job in the Army. It just, at the time, wasn't available.
Yeah.
And they said, well, we have this other thing. It's also a radio job for a special operations unit. And I went, what is that? And he said, that you jump out of planes and blow stuff up. And I'm like, I'm in. Turns out it's a completely different job. There was no plan music on the radio. It wound up being a tactical communications specialty.
Oh.
But it was great. I fell in love with it, fell in love with the command, fell in love with the unit, fell in love with the Army. And then when I retired, I saw Patch Adam,
mm-hmm.
which was a film of, Robin Williams that was in about how comedy heals. And
yes.
Comedy was the only thing that really healed me post-combat. I mean, I'd been shot. My roommate had been killed 2 weeks before we redeployed back to the States. I still have friends who are deploying all the time. I have a friend who's leaving in a couple of weeks. to go back overseas. I'm sending a team of comedians downrange at the end of the month to perform for people stationed overseas. So I constantly still live in that world, and it's still very tenuous for me. There's a lot of tension in my life constantly. Whenever my phone rings and it's an area code, you know, it's a Fayetteville, North Carolina area code. It's probably somebody from Fort Bragg calling to give me bad news. So I'm still very stressed out about it. And between the doctors and the therapists and all the people at the VA who have tried to help, and they do their best as much as they can, but comedy is the only thing in my life that's ever really healed me personally. Mm. You know, I loved watching Eddie Murphy as a kid. I saw Delirious when I was 8, which proves how bad my parents were at their job when an 8-year-old is watching Delirious.
Yeah.
it's really inappropriate for an 8-year-old to be watching that.
Oh, I was watching horror movies at probably 3, so.
Yeah, but, you know, I loved comedy. And I remember the first time it really healed my soul, the laughter. And I felt like that would, if it was going to help me, a guy who had been shot and had lost several friends, it might be able to help other soldiers. So I created a group called the GIs of Comedy. Mm-hmm. We're all combat veterans, different branches of the military. I think there are 10 of us at this point. Started with like 3 of us. But we've been to 19 countries over the last 2.5 years, performing for soldiers stationed and deployed all over the world, literally all over the world. We just finished a 15-show tour here in the U.S. at 15 different Air Force bases in 11 different states. Because just like I say on the show, if we can help one person laugh again, because it's really hard to come home from a war and find something to be happy about, something to laugh about, something to love again. If we can help just one person do that, then I've done my job as a non-commissioned officer. I'm still taking care of soldiers. That's still what I want to do.
I'm sure that your mom is very proud looking down and just that you continue to serve. You found a way to continue to serve and find a way to help people and help the, you know, help the world. So thank you very much for your service, you know, both parts of your service there.
So thank you guys for having me on. I hope you can all catch the Mixed TV episode of My Motto, which is an all veterans edition. We have a fantastic Marine on there, an Air Force pilot, or a Navy pilot, excuse me. Oh, he's going to get mad at that. Navy pilot who, he's the only person I've ever met who was actually at the Top Gun Academy. Like, I've heard rumblings about it, but he was a Top Gun instructor, and the dude was awesome. He's a great guy to talk to. His story is amazing as well. So is Lethe Kim, who's a Marine Corps veteran. She's a stuntwoman here in Hollywood now, too. But it's a great episode. I'm so glad MixTV asked me to do it. Super proud to have been a part of it.
And people can watch that at any time at MixTV.com. That's MYXTV.com. Again, MYXTV.com. Tom Tran, you know, thank you so much for all that you've done and also for joining us here and helping us celebrate Mother's Day.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on. Happy Mother's Day to everyone out there.
Thank you. Thank you, and have a great weekend. Thank you very much. We'll have you on again. We'll have Tom on again. I know he's dropped out, but we'll have him on again sometime because I know there's a lot more ground to cover, and we didn't even get, you know, he was funny, funny guest right there, but we didn't even get to some of his mother's jokes, so... Yeah, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come on with our next guest, Jim Riley, from the Arizona Theater Company's production of Holmes and Watson. But, you know, this is a... this is out of order, but that's okay. This is okay. The Super...
What is it supposed to be?
This is the Super Trooper, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay.
What was I supposed to be playing? 5?
Four. But this is okay.
Well,
this is okay. Leave it at this. We'll play. I'll explain it during the break. But Super Trooper, the lights are going to find us on the stage in our next segment. Jim Riley joining us. Super Trooper, lights are going to find me. Shining like the sun, Eric.
Yeah, Adobe Audition loaded everything backwards.
That's okay. We're going to smile and have some fun. Continue to have some fun and feel like we're number one right here on KPHX 1480 AM. Keep listening to Breakthrough Entertainment's Mother's Day special. We'll be right back.